So we're going to talk about really exciting stuff today, scripture memorization. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, memory is a net. One finds a pool of fish when he takes it from the brook, but a dozen miles of water have run through it without sticking. We have an incredible capacity to remember things. The question is, what is it that's so important that we're allowing it to stick in the net? Let me prove it to you. Just think about all the numbers that you know. Forget words or phrases or anything like that. Just think of the numbers you know that you have to remember. Your Social Security number, your spouse's Social Security number. Some of you are really weird and know all of your kids' Social Security numbers. Your PIN number on your money card, the PIN number on your credit card, the PIN number on your door to open your alarm system. If you're of a certain age, you probably at one time had more than 30 phone numbers memorized. Nobody does that anymore. You have a security alarm number. You have a cell phone password or a PIN number on your cell phone. You have this intricate voicemail at work with all these prompts and passwords that you had to memorize. You know investment numbers, investment account numbers, bank account numbers. You know birth dates and years of all the family members and even your boss. You can remember all of that stuff. How is that? Why can you remember? I can remember the 112 Oklahoma Street. That's the address we were at when I was 6 years old. I don't know why I can remember that. But it just sticks in your head. How is it we can remember those things? How did your mind transfer those things from your short-term memory to your long-term memory? Obviously, the longer it's in your short-term memory and keeps getting called up, the longer it stays there. The more often you go back to it and retrieve it and go back to it, the easier it is to transfer it to your long-term memory. So you might not think about those things for years, but as soon as I say them, you can click them right off because it's found in your long-term memory. So what we want to talk about today is how you take verses of Scripture and get them into your short-term memory and then move them into long-term. But more important than memorizing Scripture is allowing the Word to dwell in your life so that you don't just learn it, but more importantly, you live it so that people can see Christ alive in your life because the Word feeds you and it nurtures you. So what are some of the reasons to memorize Scripture? We want our motives to be pure, right, in memorizing Scripture, not so we just play a game. And there are a variety of reasons. We're just going to cover six real quick. One, it helps you to keep from sinning. Scripture memory helps to keep you from sinning. Psalmist points out the value of memorizing Scripture. It's more than just something that stays in your head because it's eventually transferred to your heart. And when God's Word penetrates our pride, it finds a way inside of our lives, and it's inculcated into it. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, along the same lines, the second reason is it helps you conquer temptation. So when you feel the pressure of temptation, whatever it is, you repeat things like, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In other words, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, and there's nothing that is going to come up against you that you and the Holy Spirit can't handle together. That's the type of attitude we need. There's an incredible solace to be found in your daily battles with Satan by memorizing the promises of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When you're in the face of temptation, that's a great verse to hold on to. And it's also neat to see that Jesus used Scripture when he was tempted. Do you remember back in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus had gone 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking? And Satan comes to him because he thinks Jesus is physically weak and he thinks he's worn down. What Satan forgets is that after 40 days of praying, he's spiritually strong. So Satan comes to him and he says, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. Satan comes at him again and he says, you know what, why don't you throw yourself down off from the temple if you really are the Son of God? Then listen to this. Satan says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against stone. Now, this isn't in your outline, I don't think, but one more reason why we need to memorize Scripture is because Satan has Scripture memorized. And he will do, and when I say Satan, I mean the world. The world takes little bits of pieces of Scripture and twists it and makes it into something that it was never meant to be. That's why we need to know it. We need to understand it. We need to spend time studying it. Jesus answered Satan and he said, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms. And he says, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So you have three temptations, but you have three words also. The same words every time. It is written. If that's how Jesus conquers temptation, how much more so do I need to dig into God's word to find the strength to conquer temptation by coming back to his word? There's a third reason to memorize Scripture. It helps you know God better. Without the word, how would you know the character and the nature of God? People who read a lot of different books by the same author, over a period of time, they come to think that they know the mind of that author, and they understand where he's coming from. That's how we get to know God. The character and the nature of God is by reading his words. J. Russell Morris was a missionary back in the 1940s in China, and he was thrown into prison by the Chinese communists. And for 18 months, he was in prison, but for 15 of those months, he was in solitary confinement. When they put him in there, they wouldn't even allow him to have a Bible. He had nothing. So Morris said that what he had to do was find a way to cope with the incredible stress and the pressure of being all by yourself in this tiny cell with very little food and no contact with the outside world. When he was finally released, people said, how did you keep your sanity in there? Morris said, you know what I did? I spent my time going over scriptures that I had memorized and learned as a child. That was the only way. He said, in fact, it was like the Holy Spirit instantly used some verse of scripture to counsel me. Out of all the verses that I had committed to memory as a child, the one that stood out to me was one that the Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 4 when he was a prisoner. This was the verse that he held on to during his captivity. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a fourth reason. Scripture memorization helps you make wise decisions. You see, the Bible is the ultimate book of wisdom. You take a college class and you end up memorizing lists and dates and entire paragraphs of what some man or some woman's thoughts are about a certain subject. We think nothing of learning that when we're in school, of memorizing or parroting those principles. But the Bible allows us the chance to know what the creator of the universe thinks would be wise for us to do, what would be best for us to do. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The word that's translated meditate here is an interesting word. It means that you do it over and over and over again. Not one day out of the week you go, I'm going to meditate on Scripture for 20 minutes. It's a constant thing that you do. It's something that is ongoing, and you feast on it, and you chew on it. And it goes on and says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. See, the Bible gives us wisdom as we study it and as we learn it. If you're thinking about getting married, you remember a scripture in 2 Corinthians, don't be unequally yoked. If you're wondering about what to do with your money, You think of the proverb that says, don't try to get rich quick, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. If you're contemplating making a career decision, you remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Wisdom can be a byproduct of our time spent reading God's word if we'll only allow it to change us. Fifth, memorizing the word helps you understand salvation. There's an extra blessing that comes from studying the scripture, and it unlocks an understanding of eternity and of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I can't back this up scientifically or medically. You might be able to, especially if you're teachers. Some of you will study this more. But kids can learn things at a very young age, and what they learn as younger stays with them for so long. That's why it's imperative that we teach our kids about God's word. When we start young, the capacity is there. But as we get older, that capacity is crowded out by all the junk that we put into our heads. It's sad to say, but the majority of the scripture that I remember, that I've committed to memory, 70% of it is stuff I learned before I was 15 years old. But those are ones that stay with you. Eventually it moves from the short-term to the long-term memory. Let's look at one more reason to memorize scripture. It increases your confidence in witnessing. The reason it can do that is because God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Why is the word like a sword? It's not because you're so skilled with it, or I'm so skilled with it. It's because Hebrews 4:12 says it's living and active. You see, it's one thing to own a sword. You can go anywhere. You can go on Amazon, buy all the swords you want. Do you know how to use it, though? It's a whole other thing to be able to use the sword and to know what you're doing with it. Some of us have entire collections of swords, of stuff we've memorized, yet you don't know how to use it, or you just never use it when given the opportunity. You just never share it. Real quick, we'll go through the methods of memorizing. First on the list is repetition and review. This is so important, to read things over and out loud several times, each time saying the topic and the reference and the verse. And you learn things one phrase at a time. Who learned 1 Peter 3:15? What? You don't get your birthday as an excuse for failing. Man. But how did you learn it? Did you just start repeating this, the whole thing all at once? No, you broke it up into there's three sentences in it. You broke it up into three different sentences, and you just repeated the one over and over and then added the next one. You learn things one phrase at a time. Say it over and over again, repeat it out loud. At times you write it down. It's through that repetition review that you're able to remember things. The second thing is music and motions. Music is a powerful medium in memorization. Remember the situation comedy theme songs when you were growing up? How many of you could name all of the Brady Bunch? As soon as the song started playing, you heard it, you could start repeating it. Or sing along to Gilligan's Island or the Beverly Hillbillies. If you're of a certain age, you've heard those things so many times that it sticks in your head whether you want it to or not. But how many of you can name the 12 apostles? My point is that music just makes it easier to remember things. If you go to a VBS or a children's Bible study, something like that, it's never just them sitting around on the floor. They have music playing. There's songs they add in. They got all kinds of motions, and I'm not going to do anything, but they got them jumping up and down and waving their arms, and it makes no sense to me, but to those kids, it helps them memorize that stuff. It helps them memory. There's a third thing here, devotion and discipline. If you don't love the scriptures and devote yourself to reviewing them, you're going to forget what you learned in a few weeks. But if you keep working on 1 Peter 3:15 this week, I'll be able to come to you in 4 weeks and ask you about it, and you'll be able to just run it off real easy. But it takes discipline. Memory expert Vicki Haddock said, "Most people are visual learners, remembering best what they see. Others are auditory learners, remembering best what they hear. A very few people, are kinesthetic learners, remembering best what they experience." But we try to do all three. I mean, that's the best if you can combine all three. That's why we use the video screen, so you can see it. That's why there's a piece of paper in front of you that you're writing down, or maybe you're writing on it. What will you remember about today? You'll probably remember the Barney Fife scene, because that was something you experienced. That's kinesthetic. That's an experience, and you'll relate an experience with remembering this stuff. There are a lot of different things you can do. You can put note cards on your mirror. My mom put a plaque on the mirror in the bathroom when we were growing up, so you had to see this plaque for when you were in there brushing your teeth two times a day. And it just sticks with you. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It's also the longest chapter in the Bible. The theme of the psalm is the prayer of one who delights in and lives by the Torah, or the Word of God. The whole psalm is about reading, understanding, and living by God's Word. Toward the end of the psalm, in verse 160, it makes the following statement: "All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." So when last week, when I asked you to memorize 1 Peter 3:15, can we do it real quick? "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." This week I want you to spend some time on Psalm 119, 160. All your words are true. That's a simple one. To get you started, remember this. Psalm 147, 3 reads, "He heals the brokenhearted. All your words are true." Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All your words are true. Romans 8:26, "We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. All your words are true." 2 Corinthians 5:8, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." All your words are true. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." All your words are true. John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." All his words are true. We could go on and on with this pattern, but you get the idea. I feel like I'm going really fast here. I feel like I should sit down and we should just, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter who you are, what you did or anything, but the Lord can use what you learn to change you and to change those around you. Your audience probably will never be an international audience of millions, but someday it could be a couple hundred people at your funeral. In the meantime, your audience may be a skeptical, unbelieving spouse or a coworker in the break room. The challenge is to remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And do you live your life in such a way that communicates to others and to God that all his words are true? Would you pray with me? Wow, I feel like I owe you about about 1,000 more words or something. Pray with me, please. Heavenly and gracious Father, we want to just thank you for your word and the scriptures you've given us, that if we're faithful, if we're hungry enough, we take this to heart and we make it part of our lives. And we live our lives in the way you've shown us. Lord, I just pray that we would all spend more time reading your word, spending time in personal devotions, getting to know you better and getting to know your word better. Because when we walk outside the door and live our lives, all of that stuff that we ingest comes out to those around us. Help us to be the light that you've called us to be. Help us to bring light into some people's lives. We all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.